A couple of days ago, I was talking to my goddaughter, Grace, by FaceTime. A lot of you know Grace. She's about 7. She lived with us for a little while, and you've met her here several times on camera as well. She was telling me the story, and she said that she was moving toward a spider with a paper towel, and then she realized, oh, I could save him instead. And she ran and got a cup and a piece of paper, and she caught the spider and brought it outside. And we talked together about how that spider was so grateful, and he was probably waving all 8 legs in praise to Grace, and we were giggling about this. And she says, you know, my mom uses a paper towel, but she feels for the spider. And she leaned real close to the phone so her mom wouldn't hear, and she said, and there's another one in the shower, and I don't want my mom to see it. Generosity is our pillar today of enduring joy. The generosity of giving life is a big part of that. Generosity is a basic tenet of major religions. We call it by different names. In Christianity, we call it traditionally charity. And in Judaism, it's actually a word that translates to justice called tzedakah. In Islam, it's one of the 5 pillars. And in Islam, it's called zakah. And in Hinduism, Buddhism, it's called dana. But in all these ways, it's all about giving. It's all about generosity. It's all about opening our hearts. Research tells us that there are 4 different circuits in the brain, and one of those 4 brain circuits actually is fed with well-being for long-term by generosity. Also, research shows that when we give, our immune system, actually it's not even about giving, it's about thinking about giving in this case. So even thinking about giving can strengthen our immune system, let alone the act itself. So all of us having been on the giving and the receiving end, we know what it feels like to be in the flow of generosity. And we know why that would be claimed as a pillar of joy, because there is great joy in that flow of giving and receiving. And yet, there can be gaps between what we know and how we practice, right? Isn't that true of pretty much everything we talk about on the spiritual journey? There's the spiritual talk, there's the theory, the understanding, the principle, and then there's the putting it into action. That's the key, isn't it? That's certainly what we focus on in Unity. And so to look at that gap, what is the gap between our generosity, our knowing of generosity, and our practice of generosity? Well, right now, today in our society, that gap is called polarization. And there's a process that happens in polarization. First, we start dividing ourselves into different circles, right? So our circle becomes the circle that maybe acts like us or looks like us, or particularly right now, believes like us. And as we create that circle, those who are in the circle are clear, and those who are other, who are in that other circle, it's also clearly demarked. So that polarization begins to push us out as we create these circles of divide. And then we begin to label the circles. You know, the people in my circle are the good ones, the right ones, and the people over there in that circle, they're the bad ones, they're the wrong ones. I mean, simplified labels, but you know, you get the basic idea. And so that then makes us move from not just polarization, but becoming fundamentalist, essentially, because we begin to think that our way is the right way. And so now we have this sort of prescribed set of ideologies and beliefs and ways of being and thinking and speaking, maybe even, that put us in the camp of this fundamentalist thinking. And eventually, as the logic goes, then the ones in the other are not really whole because they're missing something, right? Something's just missing over there. You know, there's some ignorance, or they just don't get it, or there's really something wrong, right? So then it moves from the polarization with this fundamentalism in it to a space where it really begins to be dehumanizing. Because if that person isn't a whole person, then I can begin to dehumanize them. And it starts out, again, pretty innocently, like we first started out with our circles, pretty innocently. But then it becomes, you know, first it's comic-like caricatures of the other, and then it's name-calling. And then, as we know, dehumanization in our history can get super serious. It can turn into slavery. It can turn into apartheid. It can turn into war and violence of all kinds. It can turn into genocide. I know none of us want to go down that road. And so this spirit of generosity really inculcates in us something different that is opposed to this idea of opposition, that is more about moving toward and opening up and including than it is to continue to move in these opposite directions. So what can we do? One of the things that we can do is move toward letting go of some of the ill feelings, right? So as we let go of some of the ill feelings, that begins to open us. And then to actually do some things that keep our minds flexible and supple, open and inclusive. Like, for example, Pema Chodron gives this exercise called Just Like Me. She recommends that you go to a busy intersection. You could go to a political rally and stand at afar and do the same. You could go anywhere, really, in the grocery store. Or you could just sit in the comfort of your own home and bring into your mind's eye these individuals. So as an individual comes into your purview, whether it's in your mind's eye or in front of you, the exercise is to say, just like me. Just like me, this person wants to feel safe. Just like me, this person wants to be healthy. Just like me, this person loves their children. Just like me, you get the idea, right? And you can go on and on like this. Just like me, sometimes this person loses their temper. Just like me, sometimes this person makes mistakes. And as we do that, you can see how, I can even feel it just as I'm speaking it, how some of that divide, some of those walls begin to crumble and fall. And we realize, oh yeah, that's right, we're all one human family. And it's so important for us to do this work now. It's so important and timely for this wonderful and joyful pillar that is called generosity. And applied to the situations in our lifetime, we can make a huge difference in bridging those gaps, in awakening hearts, in bringing more life. That's what generosity does, essentially. Pema Chodron says this in her new book, Welcoming the Unwelcome. I think it's her new one. It's new to me, so I think it's one of the newer ones. But she says this, the time we live in is fertile ground for training to be open-minded and open-hearted. If we can learn to hold this falling apartness without polarizing and without becoming fundamentalists, then whatever we do today will have a positive effect on the future. Let's take a look at this life-giving aspect of generosity. The Jordan River in Israel feeds two different bodies of water. One is a sea to the north. They're called seas. They're technically not seas, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. That's what they're called. So one feeds the one to the north that is called the Sea of Galilee. The River Jordan feeds the two, and the other one it feeds is to the south. Both of these bodies of water are fed, but they're so different in how they are and what they bring. So the Sea of Galilee has been used for forever, it seems, in the history of humankind for all kinds of things. It teems with aquatic life, with fish and animals. And it's a place where you might remember in the Gospels that is referred to, so many stories and activities took place at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus and the disciples fished there. They met people. They went all over the Sea of Galilee by boat to different towns and places that are positioned around the sea. Even Jesus walked on the water there. Remember that story. And there was also this sense of serving both the human population and all life around that continues to this day. There are bustling communities and farms and resorts all around. It's a center of commerce and trade. And so the Sea of Galilee is full of life. Now that other sea, that sea to the south, it's called the Dead Sea. And that sea, as you can imagine, is not full of life. It's stagnant. It's dead, essentially. There's nothing that it feeds. There's nothing it gives life to. There's no life in it, in fact. In fact, it actually spits out pebbles that turn into blocks of asphalt. What's the difference between these two? They're both fed by the fresh waters of the River Jordan. The difference is that the Dead Sea doesn't have an outlet. So there's nothing for it to give to. Whereas the Sea of Galilee both gives, receives and gives back to the same River Jordan. Different branches, but the same. And so you can see that when there is no outlet, things shrivel up and die, right? When there is no way to give, when there is no way for generosity to pour through, but only to take, only to receive, then there is no life. So how are you acting these days? Are you more like the Sea of Galilee, or are you more like the Dead Sea? Are you feeling stagnant? If you are, think about what brings you joy. What would bring you joy to give to someone else or to something else today? And that will open up that outlet so that life and can pour through and your own body can feel alive, like these body, that like the Sea of Galilee, that body of water that feels so alive. So when we consider the different ways that we could give, we begin to move in this direction of generosity, which naturally returns us to the divine flow. Giving, we all know this, is receiving. We know it in theory and we know it in practice. We know it from our experiences that when we give something genuinely from our heart, that there is a sense of joy in the giving, and even more so when it is received with gratitude. But we don't need to have that expectation or that string tied to it. We can still give freely and generously and feel the joy by doing so. And once we get into that flow, we realize that through our acts of generosity that the energy keeps flowing both ways. Archbishop Desmond Tutu put it this way. He said, God doesn't know very much math, because when you give to others, you should be subtracting from yourself. And instead, it seems like you make more space for you to be given to. So it's somehow that it is that as indeed the way the reading went today, you know, that as we give, you know, love is something. When you give it away, you end up having more. So it is with everything that we give from this genuine kind of heart. And it's true that when we give, it's an act of abundance. It's an act of prosperity. The Good News translation of this familiar Bible verse goes like this. Give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive in full measure a generous helping poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you. Again, the more we give, the more we receive. So what about that other half of the divine flow, that receiving is also giving? So being somebody who is generous is not just about, you know, honing the art of giving, but it's also honing the art of receiving, being a gracious receiver. So it's not to be ignored, this part. The health and the abundance of the Sea of Galilee depends on the ability for it to also be an inlet, for it also to receive. So we keep the divine flow moving by being both receivers and givers of grace. Generosity flows through an open heart. So let's just swing wide the doors of our hearts right now with this song. It's written by Daniel Namad, and it's performed now by Richard McDeasy for us.
Swing wide the doors. Doors to let in the light. For humankind, swing wide the doors of this heart of mine. Ooh, ooh. Swing wide the doors, the time is right. Swing wide the doors.
Practicing generosity is simple, right? There's so many different ways to do so. So just pick the one that brings you joy. Here's some thoughts to tune into, some opportunities to consider. Learn about people around you who inspire you, and then see if there's a way that you can help them achieve their goals. This story really moved me from ABC News. There were a couple of police officers that found this guy, Fred Barley. He was at Gordon College in Barnesville, Georgia, but he was actually on the campus in a tent, and so the police were coming along to evict him as a homeless guy. He's 19 years old. And then they heard his story. Fred had ridden on his little brother's bike in 100-degree weather from Conyers, Georgia, which was 6 hours away, with all of his belongings, his duffel bag, 2 gallons of water, and a box of cereal. And he had done that because he wanted to enroll in a second semester as a biology major at Gordon College. He was hoping to come early and find a job, but he wasn't having any luck, and so he didn't really have another choice. He didn't have the money to stay anywhere else. The officers were so moved by Fred's story that they put him up in a hotel on their own dime. And the word got out, and people in the town began to donate school supplies, money, food, the rest of his motel stay. And then Casey Barnley heard the story, and she decided to set up a GoFundMe page for Fred. She actually met Fred first and talked to him, and she was so moved by his determination that she said, I want to help this kid go to school. And so the GoFundMe page has now raised $184,000 toward Fred's education. The generosity of strangers is so heart-opening and so moving. And every day we have these kinds of opportunities to give to people we've never met, to give to people in our own household and family, to just give, to share, to open ourselves in this divine flow, this sort of, I always think of the infinity symbol, you know, of the giving and the receiving that is generosity. And if you imagine that from heart to heart, all these loops that we create, how very different than the idea of the two poles, the two circles that we talked about earlier. Instead, this infinite flow of divine good coming from one heart to another, helping one another. Another way that we can help each other is just to be tuned in energetically to what's going on with somebody. We can feel when somebody could use a little love, maybe a hug or some encouraging words. Yesterday, Brenly and I had an argument, and I was sitting outside. It does happen. Not a lot, but it does happen, as it does with all of us. I was sitting outside, and I was just feeling heavy-hearted about something I had said. And then out popped through the doggy door our comfort spaniel, Dakota. She actually usually prefers to be indoors, but I think she felt my heart, and she came out, and she came right to my feet. And so I picked her up and sat with her, and she cuddled up, like really cuddled into me in my lap and was looking into my eyes. And so we just had this time of petting and just being with each other. And then it's like she felt like, okay, I did my duty, and she was ready to go. And we parted, and she went right back inside. And I thought, wow, this dog teaches me so much, as our animals often do, but particularly about generosity. And, you know, in dog language, it's so simple. It can be this simple in our lives, too. You know, tune in. Notice what's going on energetically from an emotional and spiritual level. And then just follow your heart. Let your feet follow your heart to wherever that is. And be some presence of encouragement, some presence of solace or love or whatever it is that is needed in that situation. It's really not that hard. We make it super complicated. Oh, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know how to give. I don't, you know, that's the human mind making things difficult. Act like a sweet animal with a wide open heart in the present moment, and we got it down. Generosity can be as simple as that. And we can use really focused, intentional spiritual practices like the one I shared earlier from Pema Chodron, the Just Like Me exercise. It's really a wonderful exercise to bring us into empathy and the generosity of heart that comes with that and to bring us closer together. You know, we constantly receive divine ideas, ways to give ourselves. And so all we have to do is, I mean, actually just thinking about them, as the research says, will open up our hearts more and give us benefit, acting on them even more so. And think about how we get doubly blessed by the acting, and then the receiver gets blessed too. So the action piece is an important part. So what would you bring? You know, what could you bring today to someone or to something that would give you joy? There are so many things. I'm going to name a few to just sort of jog your thoughts about what might be moving through you. You could give somebody a gift. You could make somebody a gift. You could give somebody some financial assistance. You could give them a hand with something. You could give somebody a call, write them a note of appreciation. You know, there's so many different things, right? We could provide reassurance and compassion, solace, love, affection, attention. Generously interpreting another's actions, give them the benefit of the doubt. That is also generosity. Sharing spiritual teachings and inspiration and encouragement. So you can see there's no end to the list once we get going. It's a bit like gratitude, which is next week's pillar. It just keeps going and going and going. So just pick something. And make a decision today to do something generous, to do something giving. And then notice how you feel. Notice what happens in your heart, your body, and your mind when you give in that way, how you receive in that moment. It truly is the fast track to joy. So let's commit together to being givers to life and remaining open to receive so that we can remain in that divine flow. We can be in that space that is, that if you imagine that energetic infinity symbol between the two poles, you can see how that would begin to pull together that beautiful, generous, divine flowing, abundant, loving energy, how that would begin to pull the poles naturally together. And that's one of the ways, just simply by stepping into it, that we do so. And as we keep our minds flexible and our hearts open, we get practiced at this, and generosity just pours through us. It just comes naturally. So I want to invite us to be this, to embody this, and let's affirm it together. Together, I keep my mind flexible and my heart open, and generosity pours through me. I am a giver of life, and I receive abundantly. And so it is. Bless your generous heart.